Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast, as always, we continue to tell you something good. Positive news and notes from around the Lions organization. Then we go on the ball and defend the Den as we look at how the Lions fared against the Buffalo Bills in the third preseason game. We have an off-prior profile on a former number one draft pick. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast. Here comes the roar.
What up, though? This is Kirk Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
What up, what up?
As we always do at this time, it is time to tell me something good. So, Shawnee J, you up first this week, my man. Tell me something good.
Well, Curtis, my part, tell me something good, is Steve linebacker Steven Longa was finally returned to the Lions. He was on the pup list for a year. He's battling the injury. He's a talented linebacker, but he's really never done much because he's been battling injuries. The Lions think so much of him to keep him around on a pup list for over here, but they pulled him off the other day. And I think he's going to make the team because he is talented. It's just having trouble staying healthy. So while they're here, he's on a pup list, hope he rehab, got his knee strong, and got stronger, bigger and stronger. I hope he's got that same guys like Devin Kennard and the other linebacker saw and Dr. Z saw. And we got to get to Dr. Z because we had some sad news to discuss about him. But this is telling you something good. It's good to see you along with that.
This week, my Tell Me Something Good is about our owner in Detroit, the chairman, Martha Ford Firestone. If you didn't watch it this weekend, NFL Films did a special with ESPN about the Fabulous Four, the four women who are the chairmen of their teams in the NFL. Martha Firestone Ford had a good segment. It really went in depth with her ownership and how she really became part of the Lions family. Actually, her first football game ever was at the age of 9 at the Portsmouth Spartans game, in which we all know the Portsmouth Spartans became the Detroit Lions. Go out there, check it out, ESPN.com. I believe it's on their website. It's called A Lifetime of Sundays, and it profiles the four women who are principal owners in the NFL. Check it out. There's a good program. You really enjoy it, and you get some insight into Mrs. Ford. Now, let's move to the offense. It is time to go on the ball. This week, looking at the offense, the starters played most of the first half. I'll tell you what I saw. I saw them starting off slow a little bit. Stafford and those guys had a little bit of time to kind of gel a little bit. I think Patricia and Daryl Bevel kept it a little vanilla in that first quarter. They were just kind of feel their way around each other. They opened it up in the second quarter, and you can see the play action passes between Matthew Stafford and Hawkinson, a couple of nice passes he had to Danny Amendola. I think it's going to be a really good offense. It was still pretty vanilla, but they show flashes of what they're going to see in the regular season. I don't think Matt Patricia is going to show the entire offense in the preseason. So what you see, Shawnee J?
Yes, and this is Stafford's first preseason game. He looked good. I saw some good things, but I was more concerned about getting him out. Like I posted after the first touchdown, all right, get him out of there now. We've seen enough. I just want to get him hurt. And a lot of people in the group agree with me. I think you did too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and we did agree. See that our starting center go down with injury. Thank God I wasn't hurt. Same thing for Jared Davis. Those are two scary injuries. Last two first-round draft picks went down with injuries in that meaningless preseason game. Thank God that they might miss a little time, especially Davis. He might miss the first couple of games. But he'll be back, and hopefully better and stronger. And this is the reason why we drafted Todd Bay. But we'll get to him when he's on defense side of the ball. But as far as the offense, once again, preseason is tricky because guys are in and out. Like you said, they're not going to show their plays, they're going to show their hand totally offensively. But Stafford made some nice throws. Like I said, Hockenson made some nice catches. You know, I think they'll be fine. We see when the starters all start, like I said, my concern was keeping everybody healthy. We suffered two big blows. We lost one on offense, one on defense. Oh, thank God it's not serious, and they'll both be back.
Man, I'm going to tell you what I like. And I don't know, there's a guy, I follow him on Twitter. He does another podcast. But he said that he thought C.J. Anderson was going to be the odd man out. I did not see that at all. C.J. Anderson played a good game. He had the stiff arm from hell. He stiff arm that guy into the, he put that into the turf of Ford Field. C.J. Anderson, he seems to always fall forward. Even when he's at the line of scrimmage, he's going to get you a yard. He's going to get you maybe a 2 yards. If he doesn't make a big play, he's going to fall forward and get something. That's what I like to see from our running back, especially that big power guy who's going to be that third down back who can, you know, down the goal line trying to punch it in. He always falls forward to get some yards. And I like that from T.J. Anderson. That's one thing we couldn't get from LeGarrette Blount last year. For a guy his size, and I know he's on the team anymore, but this is a quick point. He didn't fall forward a lot. He was too upright. For his size, he ran really upright. He didn't have the speed to run that way. He needed to lower his shoulders. And I see that with T.J. Anderson, he lowers his pads, he hits the hole hard, and he always falls forward. So I like the running from him, and also from the surprise who's still on the roster right now is Thompson. Mark Thompson, he's a pounder. I mean, I like the way he runs. The guy, he drops his pad level and knocks people down. So I like the way he runs the ball. He runs hard. And I know Kerryon's going to get his. I didn't like the fact he dropped a couple of passes, but Kerryon's going to be Kerryon. I think he's going to do his job.
And I must say, the emergence of C.J. Anderson and Mark Thompson, two big power backs, I really like Thompson, is one of the reasons why they kind of fan favorite, a personal favorite of mine, Zach Zinnerday, Dr. Z. Dr. Z, once again, he rebuilt his body. He played well this preseason. You know, he played well. He's a fan favorite. The coaches really liked him. He can play special teams. He made some nice runs, but he still got cut. So I'm sure, once again, I'm sure he's a perfect Belichick kind of guy. Don't be surprised if you see him on the Patriots. He'll get a job too if he wants to still play in the NFL. If not, we got to get a job soon. His injuries,
I think he'll get a job somewhere. If it happens in the NFL, it's a numbers game. Sometimes a fan favorite is the odd man out. I think with Kerryon being healthy coming to the season and the emergence of Ty Johnson, that catch he had down there at the goal line on fourth down was phenomenal. Stafford put it on him, and he curled that thing in and power passed that linebacker right into the end zone. So I'm impressed with him with this preseason as well. He has good speed. He runs pretty hard, too, for a smaller back. He runs hard. He's fast. So I think the writing was on the wall for Zach Zinner and the departed Theo Riddick. With the emergence of those young guys, those two veteran backs were just going to be the odd men out this preseason.
Yes, they're cheaper options. They're younger, bigger, faster, stronger, cheaper options. Mm-hmm. So we can't ask more than that. And we also got to mention that the Lions, once again, made a quarterback move. They cut David Fales and brought in the Eddie Mason Station. Luis Perez.
Yes,
he only has one game to show his wares, and there's a backup job. The staff are still up in the air. Will be Josh Johnson, will be Perez established, healthy enough to play, or will we get somebody else, from the cuts on Saturday? We look for another quarterback, so that's still up in the air.
Here's what I see with them bringing Perez on. Either Savage or Johnson is going to get cut because of the fact that Perez still has enough eligibility for practice squad. The Lions aren't going to keep three quarterbacks. They're going to keep two on the roster and have one on the practice squad. So either Johnson or Savage is going to be the odd man out. The issue with Savage is he's been hurt with the concussion, so he's been in the concussion protocol. That may leave him the odd man out. Depends on how much he plays this week. versus the Browns if he's going to stay in Detroit. That's just my opinion.
Is Savage going to play on Thursday night?
He's been cleared to play. He's out of the protocol. I'm not sure if Patricia's going to play him or not. Now, I will say this. He was the best backup in camp before he got hurt. He was hands down above David Fells. It wasn't even close. With that being said, we'll see if he plays on Thursday or not. That's still up in the air. One thing I did not like on Lions playing the Bills is that I didn't see a lot of targets for our outside receivers. Now, I'm sure that the offense was still pretty vanilla. I think Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay may have got one or two targets. I think three targets combined, something like that. I think Jones got two and Galladay got one. And the one Galladay got, he was already out of the end zone. He stepped out and came back in. I didn't like that part. That's just me. I like my outside receivers, you know, to get a little more touches. But hopefully when the season progresses, you'll see more stretching down the field. So, and they'll have those vertical routes, especially with the two longer tight ends with Hockenson and Jesse James. They are longer, taller guys and can run. So hopefully we'll see some vertical routes. You'll get Jones and Galladay open down the field.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I really saw offense. I hate that the fact that Ragnar got rolled up on. We talked about it a little earlier. It doesn't look serious. Reports out of Allen Park is that he has a very minor ankle sprain. I think he'll be ready for the opener. I wouldn't say the same on the defensive side, but we'll get to that right now. Let's defend the Den. What did you see from the defensive side of the ball, my man?
Well, once again, the first thing that stood out at the beginning of the game, we lost, you know, another young key star, former draft pick, Jerry Davis. His injury looks, you know, good at first. You know, the expert, the former Lion physician, David Chow, who's pretty good at examining injuries and watching on tape. He's pretty accurate. He said, you know, looks like that guy suffered an ACL tear or Achilles tear or a broken leg. He's pretty accurate. He said it looked good for Davis. But I'm happy to say one time Chow was wrong because injury could have been much worse. It was a high ankle sprain. It won't keep him out long. Maybe the first two or three games, but he should be back by the end of September. And this is why we drafted, you know, good thing we drafted Jelani Tavai, because I want Tavai to play in the middle anyway because you, Davis, on the outside. That was my wish. I want, you know, because Tavai's a big run stuffer, still run. He can stuff the middle. He can take on blockers, you know, pick off his line better than Davis. I like our corners. Our corners, you know, they've got a lot of young corners. The jury's still out. You know, who's going to get cut? My man, Jamal Agnew. He's struggling in coverage, but he made a nice return. You know, he fumbled one earlier, but you think he jumped on it, and he made a nice pick off because about 50 yards, which saved his bacon. You know, I think Agnew may be more of a Devin Hester instead of a Deion Sanders. He's a good return man, but his coverage skills are lacking. But you know, Devin Hester, what was his position? I forget. It was Hester receiver?
He turned into a receiver. He started out as a corner and he moved to receiver. He was kind of that, what do you call that, like type of player where they ended up designating him on offense down the line where he really wasn't suited to play corner, so they moved him to offense. So,
yeah, but and one thing, go ahead. Agnew's a similar player, you know, it's like Devin Hester. He wasn't a full time receiver either. He might go on some plays. Agnew got talent, you know, but he's not like Devin Hester. He's a good return man. He can be used on offense and return kicks and punts. But as far as playing cornerback, I thought he could be the next Deion. Well, that doesn't look like it's going to happen, but he still has value to the team.
Right. I think he does too. What stood out to me was the hunt for the ball. I like the way the Lions pursued the ball, creating a couple of turnovers. You have the fumble earlier in the game with Quandre Diggs jumping on the fumble. You get the player from the Bills. He made a couple steps, caught the ball up. They've been turning the ball over here in the preseason. I like that. I like their aggression they have to turn the ball over. They've had a few interceptions. Teams are staying away from Darius Slay, which is a good thing to do. You stay away from big play Slay, he'll make you pay over there on that corner side. I think Rashad Bell was going to be a good number two. Still up in the air, who's going to stay and who's going to go as far as the depth of the corner room is concerned. T. Tabor, that's another thing. T. Tabor came back to practice yesterday, along with Tyrell Crosby. He's back in the fold. I won't be surprised if Pete Taper is not on the line for the upcoming season. Won't be surprised at all.
You think he'll make the team?
I'm not counting him in there. Just for the fact that he's behind the power curve. I know he made some progression in the offseason, but that injury has set him back. Would it surprise me if he does make the roster? No. Would it surprise me if he gets cut? No. Either way it goes, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, yeah.
I like the aggressive nature of the defense. I like that we got Snacks in there and Mike Daniels. Mike Daniels was the one who provided the quarterback pressure on that phony Welcome to Pastor by Kristen Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was, man. That was crazy. There's no in the world that was roughing the past. You cannot convince me of that, my man. I don't know. The analyst was on TV. He was talking about, oh, yeah, you know, they protect quarterbacks. But even Greg Dummel was like, dude, that was not roughing the past. But I like the fact that they were in there.
Yeah.
Stuff on the run. Him and Snacks, it's going to be really hard to deal with there in the middle, especially with A'shaun Robinson and Deshaun Hand whenever he gets back.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to be tough to deal with in the middle.
Yes, they will. And let's don't forget, give credit to who said the Lions should go after Daniels after he got cut by Green Bay.
Did you get Bob a call?
Say what now?
Did you get Bob a call? You got Bob on the hotline, told him to get Daniels in the trail.
Oh, yes. You know, we had young talent, and they were still looking for a defensive lineman, even though they didn't bring in Daniels. I thought they had, you know, some good defensive linemen with Snacks and the Bama Boys and P.J. Johnson, a rookie, having a hard time making a team now. He's a good practice squad candidate. But I thought we had some talent even without Daniels. But with Daniels, we'd have much better. So,
right.
And like I said, like remember the twin Buddhas in Chicago back in early 2000s?
Yeah.
The Bears with the twin Buddhas. Who were they? Those two guys. But they were.
They were Urlacher and those guys, yeah.
One was 375 pounds. The other was 350. Those were big boys. And
yeah. Eat up some space, you know what I'm saying? And eat out a buffet.
Yeah.
The secondary, they're going to have their bumps and bruises. I think I didn't like to play with Tracy Walker. I think he was just being aggressive, but he could have really hurt Brent Gore, especially when he hit him in the way it was out of bounds. He got an earful from Matt Patricia on the sidelines. It's just a learning curve. And he was just being aggressive. I think he's going to be that starting strong safety and going to lead back quandary back there at free. And they kind of alternate. You're going to see them one playing up, one playing in the box. They have a versatility put between those guys. They both can play both positions. The linebacker core, what I did see that I like is Tyvay. Tyvay was still in pursuit, getting off blocks, making plays, even when Jarrett Davis went out the game. And so was Reeves Maven. Reeves Maven was out there doing it still. And on that ghost call again, that took away his interception. I think the defense is going to be better than what people think it is. And if you look at that role Reeves Maven playing, he's playing that Viper type of position, which is that undersized linebacker, oversized safety, flying around the field, making plays, versatile. You can put him in the box. You can put him in coverage. The defense is going to be good. That's just me. They ended the season on a high note. I think they're going to start the season on a high note. So,
Tyvay is obviously going to start opening day in Arizona in the middle.
Yeah,
he's really saying this being him, Kennard, and Christian Jones, the only starters.
Right. I think that's going to be a good starting group. And with Davis coming back, you're going to add some depth and some speed. I think the defense is going to be solid this year as long as the offense can match up. I think we're headed to a good season. I think that their prediction from worst to first can happen with the Lions if they stay healthy and they play the right way. All right. So, wrapping up the defense. Now it is time for our favorite segment when we get all the juice and tea. Two points conversing this week. I know there's a topic you want to talk about, my man. It's not Lions related, but it is. So go ahead and talk about Andrew Luck and him retiring from the NFL and what that means for Lions.
Yes. Andrew Luck, he unexpectedly retired, surprised, you know, put a bombshell on the fans. The Colts may have saw it coming, but he retired this weekend. A lot of his during the game, when the fans found out he was being booed, and I think that's wrong. This brought back
that was disgusting, man. That was so foul, man.
Yeah,
that was so foul. I didn't like that.
20 years ago. Yeah, it was priceless. 20 years ago, and you know, we went to this Lions fans this twice. 20 years ago with Barry Sanders, and this surprise retirement announcement, and with Calvin Johnson, some surprise retirement announcement. But you know, Luck, the top pick from the 2012 draft, he's suffered a lot of injuries in his brief career already. Ribs, torn. Abdominal muscle, the shoulder, which kept him out for the entire 2017 season, and the month of
June
right now.
Yeah, that's really kidney and everything. He was in some pain.
And he had an ankle right now that kept him out of training camp. But he said, you know, Luck is a very smart guy. He said enough was enough. I mean, he already made $100 million in his brief career with the Colts. And he came from a family with money because his father, you know, played in the NFL. A smart businessman. Plus, Luck has an engineering degree from Stanford University. He can always go fall back home. Yeah. I'm sure he'll get an analyst job. I can see him getting an analyst job with ESPN or the NFL Network or with someone like that. Enough is enough. I mean, his body couldn't take it anymore. He didn't want to put his body to that anymore. People, so he's being weak. I heard people call him the P word, you know, talking about.
Yeah.
And he's soft. And he's a loser, a quitter. But, man, I can understand, you know, like Samuel Calvin and Barry. You know, people say, well, the Lions weren't going anywhere, those guys. That was part of it. But even more, they put their bodies on the line, you know. You know how they feel Monday morning, the day after a game. You know, Calvin had many injuries.
Yeah.
Too. Like, you see his hands, his fingers, and he's got tired of it. You know, his body, put his body through it. And how that relates to Matthew Stafford, Lions fans should be more appreciative of Matthew Stafford. Because Stafford, he's back, you know, for another season. A lot of people want to get rid of him. So Stafford's a bum, will never win anything, wants them to get rid of him. But Stafford's tough. He shows up to work every day, don't complain. He's, you know, he has some injuries his first 2 seasons in the league, but since 2011, he hasn't missed a game due to injury. He has played a lot of pain, like fingers and the back and other injuries. Stafford's been very tough. He's on Brett Favre. Yeah, he's on Brett Favre. And Lions fans don't appreciate what they have to have gone. So all those Lions fans are complaining about Stafford. Stafford's a man. He, you know, we should appreciate him while we got him. That's why I say, Bill, get the man a line. Get the man a running game.
Right.
Give him good targets, a tight end, wherever he needs, especially the offensive line. Because I cringe every time I see him get hit. You know, Kelly Stafford, someone posted something on Kelly Stafford's Twitter feed talking about Andrew Luck. And you know what she went through this year, her brain surgery, I'm glad she pulled through.
Uh-huh.
And of all the hits she's taken all the years. And, you know, she might be in his ear telling him, you might want to hang it up since the fans in Detroit don't appreciate you anyway. Why are you risking your life? You don't know what they say in their bedroom at home. You don't know what kind of conversation you might be having, but that's kind of a
good thing. Philosophical is definitely definitely be powerful. I think my view of the Andrew Luck thing, like you said, he had a lot of injuries, smart guy. He wants to be able to live his life. Fan is short for fanatic. So you have to realize, I had an individual tell me like, yeah, I can understand what I upset. You have to understand what I upset. However, it doesn't give you a license to be classy. It doesn't give you a license to be a jerk, to be, and I don't like the way they came out. Now, Adam Schefter, he's a good reporter. He was just doing his job. He was doing what he's supposed to do. He got the news. The story was filed from the coach to ESPN. The coach should have waited after the game to file the story with ESPN. You know, you get these insiders and people want to know if the information is true. So what can Adam Schefter do? He's got this information. People are calling him up, texting him. Hey, is this true? Is this true? ESPN says, hey, go ahead and release it. Now, was it a bad look? Yes, because the press conference should have happened on Sunday, but they had a press conference scheduled for Friday. I don't know why they pushed it to Sunday. They should have just let the guy do the press conference on Friday and let him, you know, walk off into the sunset with his wife and his family, kind of say goodbye to the fans, that way you prevent a situation like that where the fans are in awe. I think it was just a big shock that they had to kind of hear it the way they did. Just there in the after a game watching it, all of a sudden their phones start blowing up. Twitter's going off, Facebook saying that their quarterback, who's on the sideline, and there's no signs of this coming, is stepping away from the game. I get that they're upset, but please have some class. Have some class, people. That's just my opinion. Another thing that we want to talk about, we talked about earlier, is the fact that Dr. Z got released from the Lions. I said it earlier. I saw the writing on the wall. Hopefully, he catches on somewhere. He's talented enough where he's a good special teamer, and he's a good kind of change of pace back. He's going to catch on somewhere. Good luck to Dr. Z. I like all the years he gave us in Detroit. He's not going to be eligible for the practice squad. He's already spent his time in the league where he doesn't qualify for that. But it's just a thing where people have to kind of let the numbers game. So get him out now when he has a chance to catch on somewhere else and be able to make a squad and learn the offense prior to the season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Because he played well this preseason. It wasn't like he was getting stuffed and he looked like he lost a step or anything like that. He made some nice runs. He was tough. I mean, it was a burner, but he still made some tough runs. He played well this season. Mm-hmm. Wasn't up to make a team anyway. But once again, the burst of youngsters like Mark Thompson and Ty Johnson and, of course, mm-hmm. saying C.J. Henderson, that made him expendable, and it's like it made Theo Riddick expendable. So, like I said, change is all part of life and part of the game. Once again, both Theo and Dr. Z were two faves of mine. But, you know, you can't play favorites. It's a business. And like I said, I'm glad Theo caught on. Even though he got hurt in Denver right away. I hope he come back. He'll come back. Mm-hmm. And I hope Dr. Z comes back. But like I said, go to the AFC, the AFC team. Don't play the Z. Like, go to, you know, even go to the Patriots. He's going to play the Patriots in the regular season. I have no problem with that. So I would like that to be. I'll follow this career if he continues to play. You know, he still want to play because, like Luck, he's very smart. He's studying to be a doctor. And if I can say one more thing to the Andrew Luck situation, the way the Colts had him, you know, in class, one of the best players they drafted, the top pick who gave so much, who really gave his, put it all on the line for the team, then they're not asking for the $24 million back, the signing bonus, which he had the right to.
And right.
This is making the Lions look, even though it's well their rights and it's a business, doesn't make them look kind of like jerks to mistreat two of their best players in history, like in Barry and Calvin. And say Matthew Stafford decides to call it quits after this season because he's had enough. I hope he can win the Super Bowl, ground Super Bowl championship, but still, if he retires prematurely after the season, which I hope he does, and if he does, it's a possibility. Well, the Lions got Stafford money back. You know, because they put himself in a bind because they don't ask for it back. It's going to have some racial bias there, you know what I'm saying?
And like a lot of salary crap money, they're going to have some dead money out there as well. I really would like to know what the reasoning was. And you look at the Colts organization, they gave the man $24.8 million. And we couldn't let Calvin hold on to $2 million
or Barry.
Yeah. That's a little, kind of look with a side eye. I've heard some people, I read some people online. Well, if they didn't play, they shouldn't get paid, yada, yada. These guys are putting their bodies on the line to entertain, you know, it's a game, but to entertain us fans. And they put, you know, like with Andrew Luck, sometimes, like, I heard a lot of individuals say this in the NFL who's retired. If it's a grind just to get to Sunday, that means it's time to hang it up. If you can't get through the week, like, there was plenty of times when Calvin Johnson wouldn't even practice through the week. He may have went through the walkthrough and just playing the game on Sunday because that's how long it took his body to recover from playing the game. He just couldn't practice because he was hurt. It was a problem where he couldn't physically. You know, he was limping around the field during the practice, so he had to let his body rest during the week so he can play on Sundays. If it's getting to that point, it's time to hang it up because you're not going to have a good quality of life after football. You know, football is a game. This is important. We love it, but there's life after that. You want to be able to play with your kids, watch your kids grow up, you know, be with your family, you know, watch your grandkids, play with your grandkids, you know, and be with your family. There's other things that's important in life other than playing football. And hopefully,
I agree.
Hopefully some, you know, fans, once the swelling goes down, it happens, those fans will understand that. So one thing I wanted to bring up, and we missed it in the offensive segment, is that Taylor Decker was the highest rated offensive tackle, left tackle in the offense. And one thing that the Detroit Lions tackles have not given up a sack in the preseason. The tackles, the sacks have came from the guards, but the tackles have not given up a single sack in the preseason.
That's interesting because that New England game, the whole line was terrible.
Right, but it was coming from the sacks were coming from the interior line. Not from the tackles, right? And if you look at it, they really protected Matthew Stafford. You know, that one play he really got pushed down. He was well out of the pocket. You know, he wasn't behind his line. So he didn't take a lot of punishment, didn't take a lot of hit during the time he was in the game on Friday. So big ups to the offensive line. I think we're going to have a good season this year with the offensive line. But I saw that and I automatically thought of you when I saw that Decker made the PFF squad as far as the highest rated tackle for the left side for preseason week 3, and that the Lions tackles hadn't gave up the sack. Because I know you're a big O-line guy. That's what you do with your boy. And I did see your boy in there this weekend. I got to give a shout out to everybody knows that this Johnny J's big, big man crush on the offensive line, Bo. Say his last name.
Ben Swazel.
Ben Swazel. Bo Ben Swazel. Yeah, he was out there doing his thing. So
yes.
I did see him out there handling his business. So I don't know if he's gonna make the team, my man. He might be in the practice.
He's better make the team.
He'll still be in the D. So
he better. That means he should start opening the game. Very
starting to open the game. Oh, man. You better ready to see Joe Dahl and Kenny Wiggins.
Bo better start one of those at the right guard spot, you know, and put my man Graham Glasgow at left guard or one of the guards. I don't care. He should be in that starting lineup, you know, so he can grind and open the holes for the running backs and help take staff.
All right. I hear you, my man. All right. So with that, 2-point conversion, get topics this week. Now it is time for Shawnee J's all-prior profile on a former Lions player. Shawnee J, who you got this week?
Well, this week I'm going to take a little different approach. I'm going to talk about a former Lion. He's not a Hall of Famer. I'm sure he's not going to be considered by Lions fans one of the better players in their team history. But a guy who was a former number one pick, who I thought got a raw deal in Detroit. And that's the number one pick from the 2002 draft, Joey Harrington. Now, Joey Harrington came to the Lions with a lot of hype. You know, he's a third overall pick in the 2002 draft, coming out of the University of Oregon, a crazy pass-happy offense he had back, at least back then. He was either second or third in the Heisman voting that year, or the year I think Eric Crouch won it. Yeah. And Joey came to Detroit with a lot of hype, you know, it always does, the third pick. He had a lot of high expectations. But from the get-go, he didn't get support because neither Matt Millen or Mari Morningway, who was our coach at the time, won Harrington. They didn't want Harrington. The guy they actually won was Quentin Jammer, you know, the former the defensive back out of Texas, and who wound up going to the Chargers. But, you know, it was
Quentin's brother.
Yes. Yeah, how ironic is that? But it was, you know, it was just said many times that Joey was a William Clay Ford pick. Mr. Ford wanted Harrington. He wanted that franchise quarterback, especially with the new, coming to the new Ford Field. He wanted a marquee player, a franchise quarterback, who we thought Harrington was. Now, Joey had good size. He had a good arm. But, you know, from the get-go, you know, when the management didn't want him or the coach didn't want him, that he didn't get much support. And also, the thing, he was tough. He was tough, just like Stafford. He took a lot of hits. He started 37 straight games before, you know, the Lions started screwing with them. And, like, when Mariucci was high school, she really didn't like Joey Harrington. He tried everything to sabotage him. He tried bringing another quarterback, like Jeff Garcia, those guys. He put an offense that wasn't conducive to his talents. I mean, Matt Millen tried to help Joey out, give him some weapons when he drafted those three straight receivers in a row that the Lions got a lot of heat for, Charles Rogers, Roy Williams, and Mike Williams. And he also drafted a running back, Kevin Jones. And, you know, those are four number one draft picks, excuse me, five on offense. I was really excited. I thought the Lions offense was going to be awesome. But for various reasons, didn't work out because Jones, Rogers, and Mike Williams or injury Paul had weight problems or the immaturity issues. And as talented those guys were, the one thing that Millen forgot to build around Joey was offensive line. Joey got pummeled many times. He had no time to throw. I mean, the two best offensive line we had were the tie was Dominic Riola and Jeff Backus. You know, they played a long time for the Lions, from number one and two pick in the 2001 draft. But the other three positions are weak, you know. He never put a good line around Joey. And that, I guess, had a domino effect here to other players. Charles Rogers, he had his issues. He was a bust. He didn't produce. Mike Williams, I like Mike Williams coming out of USC. But, you know, he came in out of shit because he sat out a whole year before entering the NFL draft. He tried to enter it early with Maurice Claret, but he was allowed to enter it. So Joey, you know, and plus some teammates frowned on Joey, like came out against Joey publicly, like Dre Bly was, you know, complaining about his lack of, you know, leadership skills, and he wasn't tough enough. The fans, they didn't like Joey because even after the tough loss, it's lost. He was seen as being too positive. The rivals didn't enjoy blue skies because he was always so positive and positive even after a loss. They wanted more in your face, tough, roughneck kind of player. That wasn't Joey's game. He was a positive thinker, you know, good attitude, but you know, he wasn't a Lions quarterback, and he never had a chance in Detroit. That's my opinion. But he was sabotaged from the fans to the players to the coaches, to the GM. Only Mr. Four, you know, once again, it was Mr. Four's idea to bring him in. That was the legend, you know. He was a Wednesday Four draft pick. He's risky traded. But Joey, once again, somehow often happens, former Lions come back to haunt us. And remember Thanksgiving 2006, he was with the Miami Dolphins then. He led the Dolphins to a Thanksgiving Day victory over the Lions in Ford Field. So he got a large measure of revenge, you know. So it always happens to Lions. You don't know how to treat a quarterback. The same thing Stafford's been going through. But at least he stuck around all these years. But that's my profile on Joey Harrington. And what do you have to say about him?
I think it was a tough time in Lions history. Joey Harrington really didn't get, like you say, didn't get a fair shake. I think that he had the weight of a franchise and a fan base on his shoulders, and he didn't have the supporting cast. Much like the beginning of Matthew Stafford's career, but I think now that what we have Bob Quinn and those guys building around him with the offensive line, where he's taking linemen since he's been there. So Joey Harrington, I think it was rare. I think someone in Europe last year was, you know, they had that when they have the games overseas. And that was one of the rare jerseys that you'll see is over in Europe. Someone was walking around England for one of the games with a Harrington jersey on. I think that if he would have gotten the right opportunities. Now, I'm not saying that he was a world-class quarterback come out of Oregon. He wasn't in a pro-style system. Now, does that make a difference? It made a difference back then because now you have offenses that are built around the quarterback and his talent. Back then, you were supposed to come in and learn the pro system and then fix yourself to the system instead of the system fixing itself to you as a quarterback coming out of college. So I just think he didn't get a fair shake. How do you get a chance to really mature in his role as a starter? Like, they didn't put enough weapons around him. So, hey, Harrington, not a lot. What's that saying? If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. We're going to leave it at that. All right. Now it's time for Now You Know.
What up, doe? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of Now You Know. This week, we're going to cover roster designations. We're going to take a look at them, what a player is designated as if he's injured prior to the season and during the season. So we're going to read it and break it down for you so you can understand the rosters about to go down to the required 53-man roster. We're going to take a look at these designations so you can understand them once you hear it when the season starts and you'll hear players on certain lists. So let's hop to it. The first thing, the physically able to perform list. This is usually the first list that comes out right at the start of training camp. So let's get into it. If a player who is on the active PUP list or physically unable to perform during training camp and isn't cleared to play by the end of the preseason, he can be transferred to the reserve PUP list, which prevents that player from playing and practicing during the first 6 weeks of the NFL season. Players are only eligible for the regular season PUP list if they were on the active PUP list all summer and did not play or practice with the team at any point. The good news is PUP allows teams to apply roster exemptions while keeping their players under contract with the ability to play later in the season, which is why most teams apply PUP at the start of training camp for any injured players. If an injured player isn't placed on PUP at the beginning of the year, a roster spot must be used on him, or he must be placed on the IR or injured reserve to start the season. Once someone is activated from the PUP onto the active roster, the team will have to make a corresponding roster move by releasing or waiving someone to open that spot. Again, if a player is on the PUP to start the season, they cannot play before week 7 of the regular season. By rule, players on the reserve/PUP list are excluded from practicing and playing during the first 6 weeks of the regular season. However, they are allowed to do conditioning work with trainers similar to what they do during training camp on the active PUP list. After the 6 weeks are in the books, teams have another 6-week window for that player to begin practicing. If the player is still injured and cannot practice during that window, they must remain on that PUP list for the remainder of the season. If and when they do start practicing during that additional 6-week window, the team has 21 days to make a roster move. So they activate the player to the 53-man roster, or they release or waive the player, or they do nothing and keep that player on the PUP list until the end of the season. If a team maximizes all their windows, a player can be held out and not activated until well into December. This is what the Lions has done in the past with DeAndre Levy with some of his injuries. He kept holding him out. He didn't come back to the end of the year and he still was not ready. Players can only be placed on the PUP list prior to week 1 of the season. The designation is not available once the regular season begins. This is for players who have been injured coming into the NFL season. Here's our next list, the non-football injury list, or NFI. The NFI list is reserved for players who suffer an injury outside of the NFL. That could mean they have been in a car accident, suffer some type of injury at home, like falling off a ladder while doing chores or hammered their hand, fell down the stairs, or they have an injury from college and it carries over into the league after they get drafted. For example, this season, my man Snacks Harrison held out during the spring. He wasn't at OTAs or mandatory minicamp, so the team felt he wasn't in shape and ready to play in training camp, so they put him on the NFI list. That prevents the player from practicing or playing just as the pup does. Once they are cleared from the NFI list, they cannot go back on the NFI list. The same is true for the pup. So they work them back in, and once they're ready to play, they put them on the active roster. Here is the injury list for players that get injured right before the start of the season or they get injured during the season, and it's called the injury reserve list. Right, the injury reserve, or IR. NFL teams are permitted to place any number of players on the IR list at the start of the season. Any player on the IR list counts against the salary cap, however, not against the 53-man roster limit. These players are not eligible to play again for the same team during the current season. They can be cut and then go sign with another team. These players may not practice with their team at any time, but can attend team meetings and be around the team. Last year, there was a big change to the IR rule changes. They have changed the rule and let two players to be designated for return after 8 weeks on being on the IR list, which brings up a different designation, IR return designation. Not everyone who ends up on the injured reserve list, season is over. Players must remain on injured reserve for 8 weeks before being eligible to rejoin their teams in week 9 via the IR return designation. The NFL changed the IR return designation rules in 2017 so that teams are allowed to bring two players back from IR, not just one, as they had in previous years. This was a great change for most of the teams because you have players that are capable of coming back, and you may have two good players that you can bring back to your team after 8 weeks. In 2018, the Lions placed Jamal Agnew on this list after he injured his knee on October 7th versus the Packers, and they brought him back at the end of the season. Last year, the NFL also changed the IR with return designation rules. Prior, you had to designate which player would get the return designation before being placed on the list. Now teams can bring back any two players on the IR list at any time, as long as the 8-week mandatory sit out period has elapsed. So let's break it down. You got a bunch of players on your team on IR. You can bring back any two. Used to be you had to designate which guys you're going to look at bringing back. Now, any player you have on IR or any two players you have on IR, you can bring back at any time, but you only can bring back two. The rest of the guys that's on IR have to stay there for the rest of the season. Now, one constraint for this rule is to be on IR and IR designated for return, the player must be on the 53-man roster in week 1 to be eligible for the IR return designation. That means a player who was placed on IR before the roster cuts were made and trimmed to 53-man is not eligible. So if they were on that 90 and weren't on the last 53, they cannot be put on the IR return roster. The last group of guys, which is a list, is the reserve suspended list. Here are these guys. Players who have been suspended by the NFL are not eligible for the pup list unless they have some kind of pre-existing injury condition that kept them out of practice prior to their suspension. Suspended players are allowed to practice and play in the offseason and preseason games. During the roster cuts, suspended players are moved to the reserve slash suspended list and do not count against the 53-man roster limit. They are not allowed to be around the NFL team facilities while being forced to train on their own. They're absent from their teammates and coaches. So if they're on suspended list, they cannot go to the team facility. They can't be around the team at all. They can't go to games. None of these things. They can't even be in the stadium when the team is playing. Now, this has been the case for this offseason for a few former Lions serving PED suspensions at the beginning of the season, such as former Lion Golden Tate and also former Lion Nevin Lawson. These individuals are serving a 4-game suspension. They can play in the preseason. They can participate in training camp, go through practice. Once the 53-man roster is set, they revert to the reserves as suspended list. Once they come off, just like the PUP list or any injury list, there has to be a corresponding roster move. They have to waive or release someone to put that reserve or suspended player back on the active roster. So there you have it. Roster designations for the season. Like my man Biggie Small said, if you don't know, now you know. And let's get back to the Die Hard DM podcast.
All right, we're back to Now You Know. Now it's time for us to get on out of here. Johnny J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
Go to Facebook of Sean Jennings, handsome young man. You'll see me. You can also join our Detroit Lions Truest Fans group. I'm the administrator there. If you want to join, I'll be happy to put you in. I keep the fans, including Mr. Curtis, updated on the Lions news. Who needs ESPN or Adam Schefter or Skip Bayless or any of those guys? When you got me.
All right. So, yeah, that's how you can find Sean Jennings. For me, you can find me on Twitter and at Instagram at Curtis Steele 14 CURTISSTEELE 14. You can also find me in several of the Lions fan pages on Facebook, including the Detroit Lions Diehards, the Truest Fan Page, One Pride, Matthew Stafford Fanatics, and several pages. You can also follow the show and on Twitter at DieHardDanPodC1 on Twitter. You can email the show, the DieHardDanPodcast@gmail.com. Shawnee J, as always, it's been a pleasure. Tune in, listen in next week as we go over the last preseason game, and we're going to go over who we think is going to make the Lions 53-man roster coming up with the cuts coming up after the last preseason game. So, for my man, Shawnee J, this is Kurt Steele, and we out.